so thankful for your presence here in this place. We just welcome you once again, Holy Spirit, to have your way with us. Lord, as we hear testimonies this morning, as we open up your word this morning, God, would you continue to speak to us and lead us in our prayer? As we pray so often in our gatherings, is that each one of us would leave here different than when we came in, having met with the living God. That there would be something in us that changes, perspectives that change. There would be greater measures of humility. That there would be a mission that lights up in our hearts and our lives. That we would have greater faith. That there would be reconciliation in relationships. And Lord Jesus, that in all of this, that you would be glorified and that you would be worshiped well beyond the walls of this room, but in everything that we do and everywhere that we go. We love you, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. And once again, welcome to church. My name is Travis, lead pastor here at Antioch, and as you've already heard me say a couple of times, we are excited to have a testimony Sunday. This has become a tradition for us over the last several years as we take kind of the end of the summer. Some of you doesn't feel like that. Some of you feels like we're still in the middle of the summer. Some of you have kids that have already started back to school, and so it feels like summer is way long gone. But wherever you are, this is kind of concluding our summer series where we've been in the book of Acts. And so this year, our testimony Sunday not only concludes the series in that way, but it is a time for us to share about what God's been doing in the life of our church over the summer. Many of the Sundays, if you've been around, particularly earlier in the summer, we've spent praying over teams and sending them out on different mission trips all over the world. And many of you have picked up prayer calendars, but most of those teams have put together prayer calendars of how to pray for them as they've been gone on these different trips to these different locations. And so we thought several years ago, wouldn't it be right to take a moment to celebrate all that God has done, all that we've been praying into, all the people that we've been sending out? And so each year we pick a handful of testimonies from those trips to come and to share with us as the church, so that we're not only praying for them as they go, but we're getting to celebrate what God has done as we've prayed and as we've sent as a church and partnered with him. And so today I want us to consider it in that way. So after each person shares a testimony of what God did on a mission trip or here locally as they've responded to the initiation of God to be a witness in the world, let's celebrate with them. So I'm going to encourage us after every testimony, let's just give a hand to God, because it's right to pause and to celebrate, to not only like, hey, we're going and we're sending and we're praying, but we're also celebrating and honoring what God is doing and what he has done. I love this year specifically how well it pairs with the study we've been doing in the book of Acts throughout the course of the latter part of the spring and the summer, as we've gone through Acts 1 through 28. And we've heard testimonies of God through the power of the Holy Spirit filling up believers to see the gospel spread and the church established. We've seen kind of the thesis statement of Acts in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we saw that play itself out throughout the study on the book of Acts, the gospel spread, the church multiplied, disciples being made, and the Holy Spirit moving through and empowering believers. And so we've heard the testimony after testimony in the book of Acts. And this morning, we get to hear a handful of testimonies of how God is continuing to move, how the Holy Spirit is continuing to see the gospel spread and the church established in the earth today. And so get excited as we've all had the opportunity to be a part of this, as we have all as a church prayed, have given towards these trips, and now get to celebrate all that God has been doing. And so welcome with me to the stage. Jose is coming up first to share with us a testimony of what God did in and through him this summer.
Yeah, hi, church. If you don't already know me, my name is Jose, and I'm coming fresh out of kids. But yeah, I had the honor of being a part of the young adult space in Thessaloniki, Greece for the past 6 weeks through Engage the Nations. And man, I just really wanted to say it was a powerful experience. And one thing before I even jump into any of the testimonies that happened is God is so worth your yes. And he proved that to me like literally the first week got into Thessaloniki. He actually set me free from a lot of things that I struggled with my whole life since I was like 4 or 5. Different like addictive cycles that were in more in the like a lust context, loneliness, shame, and all these different things that just happened through one prayer meeting, an encounter with him in Hosea 11, and just a revelation of him as father, and just him speaking fresh identity over me as a son. And that led to this just me getting rocked by the love of God in a new way, and then kind of paired with the book of Acts, getting a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit. Like it literally was like I was learning how to walk as an infant all over again, like learning how to do secret time with him, learning how to pray with him, learning how to do corporate prayer time with him, since our team was doing like 20 to 30 hour a week prayer sets and continually going out and just interceding and praying, being the forefront of everything that we did. And then that from that place, sharing the gospel. So with that, we did this gospel drama called Choices. And in the drama, I get to be the person in white, AKA Jesus. And usually after the drama's wrapped up, it's the main theme of it is basically like we all have a choice to make, whether you want to hold on to your sin and stay trapped or actually give your sin to Jesus. So it's a beautiful drama. If you've never seen it or done it, I recommend that you do. But usually after the drama's over, we basically have someone come up on the mic, share the gospel with whatever crowd that we drew, and everyone who's in the drama goes out into the crowd, sees if there's anyone to pray over, just ask people quite honestly like a really simple question like, hey, how did you like the play? What did you think about it? And this one particular instance, we were by White Tower in Thessaloniki, and my friend who was in the ETN base with me had drawn up this like big group of guys of like 5 or 6 guys. And after I got out of the drama, went directly over to him because it was like 1v6. And I was like, let's make that 2v6 and with the Holy Spirit. But basically, I saw this dude who was like kind of like on the outskirts listening. So I just start talking to him. And I was just like, hey, man, like, how did you like the play? Like, what was your favorite part? And he said that there was a part at the end of the play where Jesus releases all the sin as far as the east is from the west. And I'm like, man, that's my favorite part too. I love it. Like, why do you love it so much? And basically, he quickly find out language barrier, but praise God that he actually had friends who spoke English. So his friends start translating for him. And the thing is, this dude gets already immediately kind of like uninterested in the conversation, but his friends who are translating are literally raving about the story that was just presented to them. And basically asking me, why, like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you here? Like, why are you doing this in front of all these people? And just got to simply share my story with him, share a little bit of the gospel. And this dude was rocked. He's like, wait a minute, nobody forced you into that? Like, you're saying, like, you heard the voice of God and you just said go and you said yes. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And also just got to relate with him on the topic of freedom and the things that I struggled with that he was able to relate on. And he's just like, man, I still struggle with that to this day. And I was like, yeah, well, I found out that one of the anchor verses that I carried with me after that whole experience was 2 Corinthians 3:17, and it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I'm like, well, if we carry the Spirit of the Lord, like when you come to know Jesus, his Holy Spirit comes upon you, and wherever you go, there's freedom. So I found freedom in Jesus Christ. And also, like, also another verse, John 8:36, like, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So that's a guarantee of freedom. And I believe that God did it in me, and I believe that he wants to do it again. And I just offered him, like, hey, is this something you're interested in? And dude looks me directly in my eyes, and he's just like, man, I want exactly what you have. And so then I just offered him, like, to pray with him really quick and just offer the salvation prayer, led him through that, and he gave his life to Jesus. So yeah, it was really awesome. But other than that, as a team, we saw a lot of salvation, a lot of deliverance, and a lot of healing, and just God did it over and over again. So that's just one way that we just saw God move in such a powerful way. So thank you for hearing my testimony.
Hi friends, I'm Nicole, this is Elizabeth. We got to do a vision exploratory trip this summer. And the part that I get to testify about is how God speaks, he's our good shepherd, and how he is desiring to fulfill his purposes through his people. And ultimately how that is leading us to saying yes to going and working with a long-term team in Southeast Asia and serving and making disciples in the Buddhist world. So many of you know we do have a long-term team there, and we had so many great memories we could share and times with them. But I'm going to touch on two. The first was we got to walk around and explore this city and see what life living like was going to be there. And we kept looking at each other and we kept saying, wow, this is so livable. And turns out maybe not everybody would say that. It's actually a quite difficult place. And it wasn't necessarily that we were in naive or unaware of the challenges that the workers and the people that live there, what they face every day. It was like truly in processing with the Lord, he was extending his umbrella of grace over us. And there was so many words that came from the church about walking in joy and walking in grace. And we truly were just filled with joy as we walked. And so we joyfully walked in the grace of God, and we got to go to a Buddhist temple. And as we were there, you just palpably feel the weight just the weight of what's over the Buddhist world. And as we were walking, we just truly felt the Lord's heart and compassion for the people there, for the lost. And he gave us actually eyes to see that there was hungry people that were searching. And so we walked around, and as a team, we read Acts 17 out loud, and it talks about how they worship an unknown God, but the Lord of heaven and earth does not live in man-made temples, that his desires is for the nations to seek after him, and that they shall see God, the true living God. And in that moment, as we were like encountering God in this temple where people are searching, and we just both felt a yes in our spirit to say, yes, we will go. Yes, it is worth it. Like we just heard that, yes, we will go, so that there are people who don't know the living God will encounter and experience the true living God. And so in our yes to that, the Lord is so gracious, and we got to have a great testimony that Elizabeth's going to share a little bit more about.
Yeah, so one of the opportunities that we had while we were in a different nation was to go to a migrant community of the people group that we feel called to go to. So that was really sweet of us. We got to go to a school and share a Bible story to about 100 students ranging from kindergarten to seventh grade. And so the Bible story that we decided to share was actually more of an overview of creation to the cross, because we really wanted to show our need for Jesus and who Jesus was and the life that he lived. And so as we were sharing about the character of God, we really wanted to emphasize John 14:6, which is Jesus' words when he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, because all these students come from a Buddhist background. And so we took time to almost memorize this verse, come up with motions, and really talk about what does this mean for Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. And we started talking about how Jesus is a God who heals and that he saves. And so then we invited people, all the kids were like, does anyone have pain, or is anyone sick? And there was a few people that raised their hands, and so we invited them, we're like, we want to pray for you. And so we got to pray for a few students, and one of them was a little girl who said that she had chest pain. And so we like spent some time praying the peace of God, the love of God, that he would just touch her body. And at the end, we grabbed the translator and went up to her and asked her how she was doing. And she goes, oh, like my pain is all gone. And so we just got to encourage her that God sees her and that he knows her and loves her and that he's the one that brought healing to her. So thank you.
Hello, I'm Tim Williams, and this is Tara Joy. And I want to tell you about a time at Kingdom Crossing that was real sweet for us. So if you don't know, Kingdom Crossing is like an outreach event. It happens once a month in the evenings. And what they do is we gather here at the building, and we spend some time training and praying. And then we split into three groups. One group stays here and worships, and then one group goes out and shares the gospel with strangers. And another group that goes out just goes out and prays. So, you know, the pressure is different for each group, depending on what you're comfortable with. So we were in the prayer group, Tara Joy and I, and this night we were out at, we were at a gas station that was like University and 101, kind of in between Tempe and Mesa. And it's evening, right? And we're in the prayer group, so we stay in the car, actually, just parked in this gas station. And there's some people that are living on the street that are gathered like around a bus station, kind of in front of the gas station. And so some in our group go out to talk with them. And we're in the car and we're praying. And then one of the people in our group, I think it was Jose, comes running back to the car with this big smile on his face. And he says, "Come and help, come and help." And I like have no idea, you know, what this is going to be. And so we run out, you know, we get out of the car and we kind of go out to, it's like where the bus stop is in front of the gas station. And there's a guy there who's lost his ring. And so he's down, he's like searching, you know, in the bushes and the dirt. And it's this real fine, dusty dirt, so you can imagine things get lost easily. And so we just join in helping him look for his lost ring. And Tara Joy's with me, and she's, you know, can get down and in between the bushes and under the bushes, and we're all getting dirty and kind of scratched and stuff, and a number of homeless people are around, and some of them are like, "Look, even the little girl is helping," and that was sweet. And so we're just looking, and I'm like praying to God, and I think, you know, this reminds me of one of those stories, like the story of the lost coin or the lost sheep. Should I share that story with this man? And I kind of felt like the Lord said, just wait, you know, wait on my timing. And we keep looking, and we're getting, you know, tired of looking, and, you know, are we going to find this ring? Is it there? And the guy kind of looks at me, and he's like, "Maybe I should just stop and, you know, come back tomorrow when it's light out and look for the ring then." And I, you know, I kind of pray, and I feel like God says, no, keep looking for this ring. And I think, I want to be here when he finds that ring. You know, I want to be with him when he finds this ring. And so we keep looking, and I'm thinking about those stories. You know, part of those stories is after the person finds the lost coin or the lost sheep, then they gather their friends together and they celebrate. And I'm like, I want to stay, and let's just keep looking. So we keep looking for the ring, getting dirty, getting scratched. And then he holds up the ring and he says, "I found it." And we're all just so excited. He found the ring, and we've got to celebrate, you know? And so what do? Well, let's go into the gas station and buy some soda. So I buy some sodas for everybody, and we come back out. It's a treat. Tara Joy loves sodas. And so we get some sodas, and I share it with all the group. And then other people in our group, you know, share the gospel with them and talk about God's love for them, our sin, and his forgiveness. And it turns out this guy who was looking for the ring, he's a person of faith. He has some faith background, and he'd been trying to share with his friends, and his two friends are there listening as our group shares the gospel, and they are just eating it up, just like engaged, listening. "Oh, I've heard church people talk, but not like this. You guys seem so relatable and normal." And so somehow we stood out, and so it was wonderful. And then we tried to organize with them. "Okay, we'll come pick you up and we'll bring you. Do you want to come worship on Sunday?" We organized that. It didn't end up working out. They didn't show up. But we're just thankful that God gave us a chance to be with this man in a time of need, join with him in a very practical way, and then celebrate with him when he found his ring, and share the hope that we have in Jesus with him and his friends. So we thank God for that. Amen.
Hello, my name is Davis, and I was part of the Antioch Discipleship School for the last year, and we had the absolute privilege of going to Poland for a week and then Germany for a week, and this story comes from our time in Poland. So in Poland, we partnered with a group called Steiger, if you know Steiger, and they gave us two questions to ask people while we were doing outreach and evangelism. The first one was, if you were face-to-face with God, what would you say to him? Which is a very deep question to ask a stranger. And then the second one was, what do you think about the word God when I say God? Like, do you think of a bad God, an evil God, a good God? You know, what do you think of? And so we went around, we were evangelizing, and this was one of our days of evangelizing. There was this thing called the island in the middle of the city, and basically the mayor of the city said, hey, all the young people, you guys can go there, do whatever you want. It's your space. And so usually all the young people there would be, you know, drinking, partying, hanging out, doing whatever they wanted to do. So we spent a lot of time there evangelizing. And so one night we had about an hour left of evangelism, and we had just gotten to the island, and it was like almost empty because it had been raining for like the last 2 hours. And so we were kind of trying to find some people to talk to, and we felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted two people that were sitting on a bench. And so me and one of my teammates, Jana, we walked up and we approached them. And when I was approaching them, I noticed that the guy had a pentagram, multiple pentagrams actually, all on his clothing. And then he also had a cross that was crossed out that said no religion under it. And so I'm walking up to this guy and I'm like, there is no way this guy's going to want to talk about God with me. And so we just started a conversation with him. We were like, how long have you been in Poland? He was asking us where we're from. And, you know, we just started a conversation. Eventually, I was able to ask that guy the first question that Steiger had given us of, if you were face to face with God, what would you say to him? And he looked at me and he said, I would ask God, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? Which is a very good question. We got that a lot when we were in Poland. And so we were able to dive into his background and his story. And he had a very similar story to a lot of people in Poland. He grew up in the church and then said it wasn't for him, and he didn't want anything to do with God anymore and left the church at a teenager age. And so he had left the church. He said he wanted nothing to do with God at all. And I was just kind of able to dive in and talk about that with him. And then he asked me the question of, what would you say to God? Which I love, because then I can share my testimony. And so I told him I would thank God for saving me. And he said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, I grew up for about 17 years of my life, and I had a void in my heart that I could not fill. And I tried to fill it with relationships. I tried to fill it with friendships. I tried to fill it with sports, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it was. I tried to fill it. And it led me to a place where I was 17. I had anxiety. I had depression. I had no purpose. I had nothing. And then I had a radical encounter with Jesus Christ, not a church, not a religion, but Jesus Christ himself. And I gave my life to Jesus, and he immediately filled that void, took away my anxiety, took away my depression, and gave me a purpose. And I asked him, have you ever felt like you have a void in your heart? And he said, yeah, I have. Last year, when my girlfriend broke up with me, I felt like that void came back. And I have a girlfriend now, so I'm okay. I'm like, okay, well, and I just told him how Jesus is a healer and how he can fill that void, and nothing else in this world can fill that void. And we had a long conversation. At the end of it, he looked at me and he said, you know, I know that I'm sinning. I know that I should probably turn to Jesus, but I don't want to give up the way that I'm living, which absolutely broke my heart, because I was like, that is exactly how I was when I was before I had met Jesus. And so this isn't a testimony of somebody who has given their life to Jesus, but more of a testimony of how God can use our testimonies to interact with people that we might have not been able to interact with ever before. I would have probably never approached a guy who was wearing a pentagram and, you know, all of that stuff on him. But through a testimony, God was able to plant a seed, and I'm believing in faith that God is going to use that seed one day, and hopefully he's going to come to salvation. So
my name is Ray Hogan. I had a privilege of going out with about five other guys out to four other guys out there. We were a team of five out to Portugal, which was an incredible experience. We were working with the Haven team out there. And across the world, you know, missionaries and Christians are facing a lot of persecution, a lot of tough things on the field. And the Haven really just provides that opportunity, safe place to kind of come back, rejuvenate themselves, heal themselves, work through traumatic issues and so forth like that. So the Haven actually bought a property out in Portugal. Not bought, but they acquired a property out in Portugal, and they ended up, it was a monumental task. There was it's all stone and all, you know, granite, brick, you name it, and we had to gut it. So that we were the third team out there, but we ended up having to gut this facility, you know, so we got to use our mighty hands and not so much our brains, which was nice from an engineer perspective. So, God hit us in multiple different ways on that team. And so we ended up coming back, praying through. And one morning we came over and we just said, we wanted to pray over the property. So we went over and prayed over the property, and there was some beauty in that. Dan went off and came back, and we just had these incredible words for the team. And that team just felt so much encouragement for what they were doing, because it's a long haul now to get this facility to being able to accept, you know, the missionaries again and so forth like that. And one of the guys that was really praying through and really resonated with the team was rejuvenating lost hearts and rejuvenating lost hearts and bringing new perspectives. And it was funny hearing Travis talk about new perspectives, because when you're in the fields, you're working the fields, you're really struggling, you get down into trenches, providing these new perspectives to these missionaries are just huge. And so I started sharing a little bit about my work situation back in the day, back about a year ago. I'd been working through, my career just got turned upside down. And so I was sharing with the Haven team, and came back the next day, and Donnie was like, I want to sit down with you and just process through some stuff, because what we're here, what the Haven is a process for you to also experience too, and a place for healing. And I didn't realize this, but I had so much deep-rooted emotions, I just wept. I was like, where did this come from? So obviously I was like recognizing that there was a need for me to be touched by God in this special place. And so we ended up going through and, you know, spending some time. And one of the amazing things that I watched this team work with is we were working with, they really valued relationship over tasks. So we had a lot of stuff to go do, but they also valued the relationship. So we spent some time really just working through and praying through with some of the stuff that I was going through, which was I wasn't really expecting, and it provided a great amount of healing. And I'm like, this is why people need the Haven, and this is why people need that care, you know, for people that are in the fields, for people that are here today too as well, that they can provide these care mechanisms. And so we're excited to see, we were the third team in, kind of rebuilding, preparing the place for the building phase of the Haven. And so it's a unique trip for, I think, Antioch itself here, because I think this was one of our first kind of service trips to really kind of send out and just kind of do, you know, a particular task and so forth. But we're really excited to see what the Haven's going to start bringing to missionaries in the future, and where they're going to go with it. So thank you. So, yep.
Good morning, church. Man, I love Testimony Sunday. Don't you guys? Yeah, so good. So I have the joy, my name's Tyler, I have the joy of sharing a testimony from local outreach, from Kingdom Crossing, as Tim kind of explained a little bit about earlier. We recently had an outreach where we got the privilege of talking to these three men who we come to find out are actually, all three of them are really good childhood best friends. And two of them were actually non-believers, and one of them was a follower of Jesus. And normally, when I'm talking to a group of guys, I'd probably be like, well, let me just present the gospel and, you know, talk about what you guys think. But knowing that one of them was a believer, I go, wow, this is a perfect opportunity. You already have a relationship with these two other gentlemen. Well, why don't you share the gospel? And so I invite him to share the gospel. And at first he goes, well, I don't know if I'll know exactly the words to share or how exactly to say it. And I go, well, if you would, I think it'd be really great. And I'm right here and I can help you out if you need it. So he goes, oh, I'll share. And he does. And I really don't have to do much of anything, which is great. It's a wonderful thing when we're sharing the gospel with people or going out and doing outreach and we don't really do anything, because that means that God's doing most of it. So he's sharing the gospel with them, and by the time that he's done, one of his friends goes, you know, I've been thinking about this for a really long time, and I've been meaning to do something about it, but I've never done anything about it. And the other friend goes, you know, I don't know yet, but I have a lot of questions before I make a decision, but it's an interesting topic for me. And so these friends are all from out of town. Knowing this, I go, well, do you guys all have Bibles? And one of them goes, no. And so we can give them a free Bible as a part of Kingdom Crossing. And so now all three of them have Bible. And I go, why don't you guys just meet up and continue talking about this? Why don't you guys do a Bible study regularly? And so all three of them in that moment, they all go, okay, yeah, we're going to commit to that. And so this gentleman who was nervous to share the gospel with his friends was now equipped, and he was like, oh, I actually can do this. And the two friends that were just walking in a life parallel to him are now intertwined in his journey with Jesus. And I follow up with them a couple weeks later, come to find out that they are meeting regularly. So they're meeting on a weekly basis and coming to know the gospel. And I love in this testimony, it brings joy to my heart that this speaks to, you know, how one person might sow a seed, another person will water, but it's ultimately God that provides the growth. And so it's the prayer that I have, and I hope you would join in me. Join with me in this prayer for these three gentlemen, that God would continue to provide the growth and the boldness and raise up more and more people with friends, with people that they can touch their lives and share Jesus with them in their circles of influence, because it's a beautiful thing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joey Fireisen. I had the privilege last month to go to Bucharest in Romania for about 2 weeks. And can I just start by saying that God is so good? Like, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, come on. And, oh man, I'm so nervous right now. And I'm just going to go with just starting about the testimony that I got to witness. I've been a Christian for a little less than 2 years. This is my first overseas mission trip ever. And like, God is so good, God is so powerful, and he can really just move through us. And one of the testimonies that I got to witness and I got to see was me and a couple friends, we were out in one of the parks, and we were walking, prayer walking, asking the Holy Spirit to just lead us. Who do you want us to talk to? And so that's exactly what we did. We were going 15, 20, 30 minutes just walking. No one was really getting highlighted. And then eventually we walk past these two teenagers. One of them is smoking a cigarette, and then the other one has some beer. And my heart just gets so burdened for them. Like, we walk past them and I'm like, guys, we need to go back and talk to them. And so that's what we do. We go back and we talk to them. And we start talking to them. 30, 45 minutes goes by. We're getting to know them. They're getting to know us. They're asking questions. And eventually religion and church and Jesus gets brought up. one of the guys, he grew up in church. He grew up in Ukraine. He knows a little bit about church, religion, Jesus. And the girl who was smoking the cigarette and drinking a little bit of alcohol, she was atheist. She's like, hey, I don't believe in God. I never grew up in church. I never grew up with a God. And it kind of broke my heart because I've just seen the way that Jesus has transformed my life. And so after asking them questions, they started to ask us questions. Why do we do what we do? Why do we go out across the world to just tell people about Jesus? And we got to tell them our stories, and then we got to ask them questions. And one of my friends, she gave the girl a card. It had John 3:16 on it. And I think John 3:16 here in the States, I feel like it might get overlooked a lot. But in Romania and other parts of the world, it means the world to them. And when she read the card that had John 3:16 on it, and she read it for herself, she was in distraught. She's like, this makes no sense. What do you mean a God loves me? What do you mean like he gave his only son? Like, what does this even mean? And we got to talk to her about the love of God, something that she's never heard of, something that she's never experienced. And just like what David said, like this is not like a salvation one, but this is a seed that God is going to grow. And so just being able to go to Romania and see what God can do through us by just a simple yes, there's no words to describe it truly. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage you guys to just give God your yes and just be open, be vulnerable with people that you meet, people in with your family, at workplaces, your friends. Just say yes, share with them the gospel and show them Jesus, guys. So thank you.
Testimonies of what God is doing. And one of the things that I love as we hear these things is not only what God is doing through those who shared, but what he's doing in them in the journey, right? That God doesn't just send us out with best wishes or kind of a good luck, or it's actually part of his heart for you. Of what he wants to do in you, how he wants to bring fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose and healing and freedom in your life is through walking with him. Because it's where he's going. It's what he's about. And so the sending is not for a few. The sharing is not for a select amount. That we are all called, as we read already in Acts 1:8, to be witnesses in this world. It is the intention of God. It is the heart of God. And it is a part of the purpose he has for your life. And when we walk in the purposes of God, we find fulfillment. We find ourselves saying kind of what you were catching in as you see people's faces lighting up in these opportunities. They weren't even always like, oh, this is the home run testimony of this or that. It was just, but you see people lighting up because of what? They were walking with Jesus. They were with Jesus in that moment. They felt the pleasure of Jesus. They saw the desire in somebody's heart, and their heart broke, just like Jesus' heart breaks when people say, not now, or they turn their back, or they step away because of their own shame or their own guilt or because of the pleasures of the world or whatever it might be. But it's in walking with Jesus that we find such joy. In such fulfillment. It's what we were made for. I love when I hear people say that or see it on their face, like, this is what I was made for. I was made for this. And they come alive in doing it. And I love what we see in the book of Acts. I want to read the very last verse in the book of Acts. Acts 28, verse 31. And he proclaimed, talking about Paul, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And so it's just finishing up kind of the last story, a testimony of Paul sharing. But one thing that's very noticeable about the book of Acts is that there is no conclusion. There's no concluding thoughts. There's no summary. There's no wrap up about like, and so this is what happened in the early church, and this is how the disciples ended up doing this or that, and the testimonies, it just ends. And I believe that that is intentional, because it's almost like an ellipsis, right? Like it's to be continued. Like this is not the end of the story. This is the beginning of the story. We're not wrapping it up. We're not bringing a summary or a conclusion, because this is only the beginning. The book of Acts is probably, many scholars would say, though later on it was called the Acts of the Apostles, it was originally just called the book of Acts. And many scholars today would say it's probably better aptly named, rather than the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the Acts of the Spirit filling up believers to accomplish the purposes of God in the earth. And so we still have the same Holy Spirit. The book of Acts has not come to a conclusion, because it's still living on, or meant to live on, in you and I. The final chapter has not been written. It's still being written in and through our lives. We're allowing the Spirit of God to continue the story. And that's why throughout the summer we've been trying to provide resources and encouraging you practically to live this out, to not just read the story, because that's not what we're meant to do. We're meant to be the story. We're meant to be the rest of the story, to let the writing of the Acts of the Holy Spirit to continue on to this day, that we would live that out in this generation, that there would be something today, this morning, in the sharing of these testimonies that would spark faith. Share testimonies. That's why the people of God testify, is so that the rest of the body of Christ can be sparked with faith for their own lives, for their own yes to Jesus. You heard a few people saying it, like, I just want to encourage you, say yes to Jesus. Because I was scared to do it, or I didn't know what it was going to look like, but I said yes, and I found freedom, and I found joy, and I found Jesus, and I found walking in the kingdom is what I was made for. And so there is not a challenge today. It's not so much an urging to share the gospel with your neighbors and to be a light in the darkness. It's actually just an invitation to walk with Jesus. It's what it is. Sometimes we feel like, oh gosh, I don't know how to do it, or I don't know how to like whatever. But it's maybe more like the story that Tim and Tara Joy shared of Jose running to the car and saying, "We need you. Come and help to find this thing." And like, okay, we're invited in to be a part of what Jesus is doing and how he is revealing himself to people. And I've never found a believer that has entered into that or taken steps to say yes in those ways that has not found themselves more filled with joy, more filled with an excitement about their own walk with Jesus when they've stepped out, when they've stepped forward in their faith. And so I pray that we as a church will be encouraged today to be witnesses, to be a part of the story of God, to find freedom in Jesus as we say yes to him, as we take steps of obedience to follow him. And so today, I just want to pray for us and our place of response, because we really value as a church taking a time to respond. Okay, God, what do I do with what I'm hearing, with what's being shared, with what you're stirring in me? What do I do with that? And so we want to take a moment to just give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak to each one of us right now. And so would you just take a moment and just close your eyes and bow your heads with me as we just give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to us. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for the testimonies that have been shared of what you're doing. And as we think back upon even the study in the book of Acts, we're so thankful for the filling of the Holy Spirit, the fire that came down at Pentecost. We're so thankful for the testimonies of boldness throughout this book and apostles like Peter and like Stephen. We're so thankful for the obedience and the yeses that we see, and people like Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Apollos, God, all these men and women of faith that said yes to you, God. And we're so thankful for the miracles, for every prison door that was shaken, every city that was turned upside down, every heart that was transformed throughout this book. And God, we just declare today that you're not done, that work is not finished, that the church is not irrelevant, but that there is power, that there's a mission for us to carry, a message for us to carry of the good news of Jesus. And so, Lord, we even just say that for ourselves, that you're not done with us, with who you've called us to be and what you're inviting us into. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to lead us. Maybe some in the room this morning just need to lay aside the reins of our lives, the steering wheel, so to speak, and just say, would you take it? Would you lead me? What does that look like, God? I heard people talking about this yes. What does my next yes look like? What are you leading me into? What are you leading our family into? So I just want to give you a moment and just to honestly ask God that very thing. This series on the book of Acts to respond like we have so many weeks, just with the front being open. And if there's a yes in your heart, if there's a yes, maybe you don't even know quite sure what you're saying yes to, but there's a yes in your heart, like, I want to be a part of that, I want to walk with Jesus in whatever he has for me, I want to invite you to just begin coming forward. And this is like an offering. It's a place of offering for us to say, God, we're offering our lives to you again. We're saying yes again today. We're inspired today by the testimony of brothers and sisters in our church. We just want to say yes to you. So that's you. Just want to come forward and say yes. And we're going to have just different people in our ministry team coming around and praying for those up front. But let's not hesitate. Let's respond to be a part of the story that God desires to write in and through our lives in this church.